afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Fetchan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right, everybody, this is indeed The Fetch, and you are listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. That's right, it is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Today's date is December the 14th, 2017. Sounds like it might be popping there. Okay, 2017, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in the United States and Canada, and a good late afternoon to early evening to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or our FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. The weather today in Riyadh has been quite pleasant, with daytime highs reaching into the lower 70s, while we are currently sitting at a very comfortable 51 degrees on the way down to a low of 44 degrees. Now, there is a slight wind of about 7 miles per hour out of the southeast. And we are expected to hit a high of about 68 degrees tomorrow, and that would be our Friday here, of course, and much of the same is projected on out through the next week. So as we settle into the final week of Christmas, the Christmas season, I should say, the weather here in Riyadh is expected to be really very, very pleasant, and both days and evenings are actually forecast to be quite pleasant, and precipitation is not forecast any time in the expanded forecast, or it's not expected any time in the expanded forecast, something like that. And it was good afternoon, everybody. Good evening. It's early morning here in Riyadh. Local time is it's 2:04 in the morning here. We'll be with you for the next 2 hours. So thanks for stopping in and all that kind of cool, fun stuff. Thanks again for supporting the show. You know, last week we had a fun show. I enjoyed it anyways. I brought in our voiceover, Mary. And again, she's from Hong Kong, from really an elite Pakistan family. And she was here to just kind of like share some information last week. And I've seen some comments there in the chat room that says, well, gee, I'm only here to listen to her. Well, I'm sorry. She left here. We had dinner here, quite honestly. We had some dinner, relaxed, and she left. Oh, I don't know, about 25 minutes ago, I asked her if she would stay, quite honestly. I said, why don't you stay? And she says, I'm shy. I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Last week, I knew what I could say because it's something I know. And so she's dodged out of here, guys and gals. So we'll try to get Mary back again sometime in the near future, because quite frankly, I thought she did a pretty good job and brightened up the show a little bit. But it was nice to have her come in. And no, she will not be coming back for tonight. So I'm sorry and regret to say that to everybody, expecting to find Mary tonight. But no, she's not in. Hey, join us in the chat room. It's already starting. I'm not sure too many people are there yet. But you can join us in the chat room. I see snippets. George 1951. And it looks like Hawk Bliss are the three I see right there on the screen. There are a few more people there. That's obviously active right now. Of course, you can also, we're working the website over at Revolution Radio, everybody, is rapidly, it looks like it's coming to a close, and we can start to relink everything and set that up. But it looks like, that's going to be finished, and the chat room there will be more hopefully lively and open, and lots of different blogs and postings and a whole lot of other things are going to be connected there. So we'll see how that goes. I keep getting emails and messages from Nighthawk. And so hopefully that'll be finishing up very quick and we can really, really put it into a nice presentation for you and put it all together. This past weekend, we did a pretty nice show. This sounds very low to me. I'm not sure why. We did a pretty nice show. Anyways, let me know if the sound is going, guys. Yeah, that or my, I'm going deaf here. But we did a pretty nice show on Donald Trump and his announcement of the Jerusalem move of the embassy, U.S. Embassy Tel Aviv to U.S. Embassy Jerusalem. And we did a pretty thorough breakdown of that the speech that he did. And if you didn't catch that, we kind of recommend you go back to the archives at Inside the Eye Live. You'll find it on the right-hand side. And you can always catch the latest two shows, the last Inside the Eye Primetime and the last Inside the Eye Live on the right-hand sidebar. And, of course, we always try to put up some show archive pages within a day to three, depending on how busy I am here. And so we try to put that up there within a day or three for the actual archive pages. But you can always find the shows at Inside the Eye Live at grism.blogspot.com. Hooliesblog.blogspot.com and heartlandonline.net if you're impatient. They always post them there, but we always put the shows on the right-hand sidebar pretty much right away also. Now, our official archiver, again, don't forget, is grism.blogspot.com. He manages over there all of the details of getting things up, edited, and online and all that kind of cool, fun stuff. So you want to check out those sites, support those sites also. One thing that was interesting about the show, the move, if you weren't paying attention to the Jerusalem speech last week, I called, of course, people in Saudi Arabia, talked to people. People are very upset about the move here, but they're not that upset. There appears to be, based on some of the news reports, a shift in the GCC, especially after the GCC council this week, where there is a move by the GCC to move into the camp of Israel and essentially forming a bloc to counter Iran. Now, we've lost. America has lost. You always lose with Jews, as they say. And so we have lost as Americans so much working with the state of Israel and allowing them to spy on the American people, spy on the U.S. government, steal technology, conduct many false flags against the United States, where it are indeed acts of war. You might recall the Liberty Incident in 1967, the Lavon Affair. And, of course, let's not forget the Iran-Contra thing where the Israelis were selling parts to Iran and all the way up into 9/11 and all the collusion that goes on with the Israeli government, its Sayanim, which are essentially spies that operate within the United States, and its government, and I guess the larger Jewish agenda that we see in play with the immigration and other things. But these guys are not nice, but there seems to be a shift in the GCC here towards moving towards a some type of rapprochement with the state of Israel. Now, obviously, since Israel is really a de facto enemy of the United States, obviously I don't find this as a positive for the people of the United States or the people here, quite frankly. And the reason I say that is that the Israelis, the Jewish people here, they're focused only on one thing, and that's their own private personal interests. They don't care about the goodwill of everybody in and around them. It's just what's good for Jews, and that's it. And I don't know if you remember growing up in the 80s and the 90s, we heard that all the time. Is it good for Jews? That was always the question they would ask. Is it good for Jews? And, of course, if it's good for Jews, they do it. But if that means everybody else loses in the venture, they're okay with that because they don't care about really the United States unless they can take from it. They don't care about Europe at all. They just want what's good for Jews. So what that usually means is anybody that aligns with them ends up much to the worse. And so for the GCC, it's for me, obviously looking at it from here, I can only view it as a net negative. Now, I understand the GCC's point of view when it comes to Iran and Hezbollah and trying to basically counter what they see as an expanding Shia influence in the region. And I do understand, quite honestly, that the Iranians aren't nearly as nice as some of the propaganda out there seems to be. But I have met recently some Shias, and the Shias are telling me straight up, you know, actually in many cases, compared to the bottom line Iranian, not Iranian, bottom line Sunnis, the Shia are much more civilized than the lower level Sunni. And of course, what you have in a lot of the West right now, a lot of these Pakistani grooming gangs that might be active in the UK, which are targeting young females, young British females, or the Somalians who might be operating in the United States or other areas, the UK equally, they are much less amenable, we're finding, to different points of views. They're just basically as intolerant as any Zionist, if you want, I guess. So it's a little bit of consternation here. You know, I've gotten word recently that some institutions here have begun to ship Americans out en masse. There's been some type of targeting going on against American citizens here, basically removing them from the kingdom. That was within some state institutions, organizations, mainly in the education field. So things have moved since Donald Trump has made his statement. And the political tension is much higher. You can feel it, especially as you go into Amman. I called Amman, Jordan today, and I talked about what was going on. They said, you know, last week was very, very difficult in Amman. There was a police presence throughout Amman, throughout the city, everywhere. And the U.S. Embassy had to shut down because of, I guess, perceived threats after the Trump announcement. So what Trump has managed to do is polarize a lot of people that could have been allies and essentially embolden those who weren't allies of the United States anyway. So in one fell swoop, the Jewish bloc behind Trump has managed to damage and set back U.S. relations here in the Middle East. Probably, well, I can't give you a time scale, but it has really set back U.S. Standing here in the Middle East. Now, how that's perceived by the governments here, the governments, of course, are, mainly a Sunni brand of Islamic governments, and they're, of course, pretty much in line with the U.S. government. But the U.S. government, as I keep explaining to people, isn't so much a U.S. government, but it is a Jewish-dominated government. And so while we nationalists, as we speak, we say, how do we eliminate or lessen the Jewish threat to the West, the Jewish threat to the United States? We know we're in really an existential battle here. You know, if you want to look at the recent, the recent election in Alabama, the special election in Alabama, once Jones, this Democrat had won, Jones had won, we were looking at a case where lots and lots of tweets out there were basically talking about how this is a victory against white people. Well, what we seem to be saying or hearing now is that we have and are witnessing an open declared war by political established political parties, established political groups, established political segments out there, really against European American descent, which is still the majority in the United States. So we are in a situation now where we must, as a national American nation, we must really start to focus in much harder now on the Jewish angle. It's clear that when we made this announcement to Jerusalem, this isn't just an American issue here. It's an international issue, of course. It is against international law. It appeared the eve of Yud, a date in the Jewish calendar called Yud Tes Kislev. And Yud Tes Kislev is essentially regarded as the start date or the birth date of the Chabad movement in the United States. So normally such announcements, if they're coming within the Jewish community, we look for different unique specific date quantifiers or qualifiers to see if there's any agenda hidden here. And when we see that this is appearing on the date of Chabad, when we know that Chabad is the group behind Education Day in the United States, and Education Day is essentially the day where Jews in power, especially through the Chabad movement, declared that Noahide law is to trump any and all laws in the United States, that this was all about building a new world order, building the third temple. And we must understand that when we deal with the Jewish people, as a nation, the Jewish people in America, the second you try to drop Israel and focus on America first, what you're going to find is that all of these quote-unquote patriotic Jews really aren't patriotic to the United States. They are patriotic to Israel. Just try it. Go into various and just test what I'm talking about. Float, even if you don't mean it, float some statements that say we need to drop Israel and focus on America. We need to drop Israel and make sure that we take care of our own people before we bother with taking care of a bunch of spoiled brats inside of Israel. Just drop any of this type of comment out there into a Twitter or into a Facebook or some other channel where you can like discuss a comment section and watch the way these quote-unquote patriotic Jews react to you. And you will find that they're going to call you a Jew hater, an anti-Semite, all kinds of different slanders towards you. And you're not doing anything. You're just floating an idea, folks. Remember, don't take this all too seriously. The first step is to educate yourself. Look, the Twitters, the Facebooks, the discuss, the comment sections, all of these venues allow you as a person to test the waters of what we tell you. You don't have to believe us because we say it. We are saying go test the waters. Try to put a British first statement in an arena where you know there are a lot of quote-unquote patriotic British Jews and see what reaction you get. Go to France. Well, Germany's lost. We already know Germany's a basket case. But go to the United States. Post information. And again, don't even take me seriously. Just post it as a joke. Post it as just a float. Test the waters. See how quickly people who are quote-unquote patriotic to you and your nation and your country when you post things that are quote-unquote anti-Israel. And what you're going to find is that they're not putting America first, because you can phrase things in any way you want that makes it pro-America, but as long as you put a caveat in it that Israel should take second fiddle to the United States. I mean, Israel's not even the United States. Folks, who cares about Israel? Why should anybody care about Israel? And here's another interesting thing I saw. There was a statement that came out something this week. It's not in front of me, but it was a case of the Congress passing a law that allows for Holocaust survivors and their offspring and their, you know, their, I guess we'll call them offspring. I don't know what to call them, to recover assets that were stolen or confiscated during the Holocaust. Now, have you ever noticed that whenever it comes to votes in Congress, the only things that are ever announced to be unanimous, a unanimous vote, it only pertains to Jewish issues. It doesn't pertain to a unanimous vote to support American veterans. There is no such thing as a unanimous vote to protect the borders of the United States. There's no unanimous vote to eliminate or lessen the strain of immigration on the economy. There is no unanimous vote to improve roads and infrastructure in the United States. There's no unanimous vote to upgrade air traffic control systems. There's no unanimous vote for spending money to improve wild parks and national parks in the United States. There's no unanimous vote to support digital libraries within the United States. There's no unanimous vote for anything essentially unless it's focused on a Jewish interest item. Now, Jews will say, you know, you're anti-Semitic. But look, I don't care what you call me. I want to know why it is that we can only muster unanimous votes for Jewish issues. Of course, we know the answer. We're not stupid here. It's because Jews control our Congress. They control the U.S. government. They control the U.S. military. You know, it was announced by Russia today that they're going to be pulling out of Syria. Now, they're really not going to pull out. Now, they're going to pull out a lot of their D-miners and some of these non-essential personnel that essentially aren't needed because a lot of the areas have been cleaned. Perhaps some of the Air Force will pull back. But when you look at it, you're looking at a public relations stunt in a positive way for the Russians. Because if the Russians can pull out and they are supported by Assad, why do the Americans need to stay in Syria when they're not even invited? If ISIS is defeated in Iraq, and Iraq just held a huge parade in which they celebrated the elimination of Daesh forces within Iraqi territory, well, if that is happening, why is the United States staying in Syria? What is the purpose of the United States to stay in Syria? There was a letter that was delivered to the U.S. High Command, I think it's called SOCOM. And what they basically told the United States, and this came from Iran, that if you don't get out of Syria after all pockets of Daesh ISIS militants are defeated, we will kick you out. Now, mind you, whether we like Iran or not, Iran is there by invitation. Unfortunately, the West, and that includes GCC allies, they're using the same bankrupt phrase, Assad must go, Assad must go. Well, at this stage, nobody cares about that type of statement anymore. Assad's going nowhere. And the Syrian people, after winning a war under Assad, it's kind of silly, quite frankly, it's irrational to actually think that he is going to go anywhere. Not after all of this toil and tribulation and the war, etc. He's not going anywhere, folks. So then why is the United States there? What is the purpose of having troops stationed inside of Syria when theoretically Daesh has been defeated? What are you there for? Even the Russians are saying basically they're defeated. We're going to leave it in the hands of Hezbollah. We're going to leave it in the hands of Iran. Even the Chinese military, everybody, has deployed to Syria. And very few people know about, I don't even know the contingent, but I know that the Chinese even have deployed combat troops to Syria. So I'm not sure what the United States thinks it's going to accomplish long-term strategy here by staying in Syria unless Trump and his Jewish lackeys, actually Trump is the lackey of these Jewish leaders behind him, want to send a lot of American kids home in body bags again. Now, if you want to support your military, why don't you bring them home for Christmas? If you want to support the United States military, why don't you keep them out of harm's way? See, supporting the military isn't all about let's see how we can, you know, get a lot of people killed. That's not supporting your military. That's like harming your military. What's the point? It's the Fetch, everybody. Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Back with more right after. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch. Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. That's right. Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. Coming to you live from Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. Good afternoon again to early evening to everybody listening in the United States and Canada. You know, I got a nice email. I don't mind feedback. In fact, I love your feedback. I got a nice feedback. I said, you know, coming to me then the email, I said, Vetch, you sound tired. You're not criticizing, but, and you know what? I had to agree with pretty much all the points. I didn't respond to that email yet. A lot of good points in there saying things about what the Vetch has been up to. I said, yeah, you're probably right about all these points. I'm going to have to take them into consideration here. But yeah, you know, you do these 2 o'clock a.m. morning shows, everybody, after a long week of work. And I'll tell you what, it's not as easy as I thought. Not as easy as we thought it was going to be, but we're plugging along. We got to like probably readjust our sleep schedule a little bit just to be able to manage at a energy level that you guys are used to. So we'll do that. Hey, this is the time where we announce that this is listener sponsored. I feel like I'm lispy. Listener sponsored, and without your help, quite frankly, it's a listener-sponsored radio station. There we go. I got it out. It's a listener-sponsored radio station, and what that means, we really cannot survive if we do not have the support of the listeners. Now, to run the network again, we talk about this all the time, but look, you've got the networks, the servers, you've got hosting, and a whole bunch of other expenses that go in. Mind you, think about it. We're running over 80, that's right, over 80 hosts now here on Revolution Radio. Everything from a show like this, which deals with pro-nationalist American issues, to I don't know what even else is out there. There's so many different hosts here. But for those of you who listen inside the iLive, again, if you appreciate the show, the network has been really good for me and for the show. And I don't think any of you who've listened to the show over the years can find any fault with that, regardless of the technical issues coming out of Saudi and everything we've had. Look, everybody's trying to improve. We're spending and investing what we can to bring you a professional quality network, a professional quality show. And we can't do that without your help. It's just not possible. So please go make your way over to freedomslips.com and put together some type of monthly $3-4 donation per month. Again, per month. That just buys, look, it's a dollar a week or whatever it is, 70 cents a week. It ain't like that's a lot of money, guys. So do what you can again. And if we can get 100 of you guys signed up, that's $300 a month at $3, of course. And that is very, very healthy relative to keeping the show up. We got 2 shows now we're running here. And without your support, we really can't do it. So we really appreciate everything you can do. Of course, this show is sponsored by a couple features, the Cat Report and also, but anyways, let's start with the Cat Report. And it's proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Posts, good services and solutions for all things great and small. It's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Blackbird Nine, a.k.a. Frederick C. Blackburn. Frederick is an NSA whistleblower, a 9/11 truth advocate, and a former 32-degree Mason, as well as a former North Carolina House candidate. And you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. And for more information, visit blackbird9tradingposts.org. That's blackbird9tradingposts.org. This week's Cat Report, we're coming back to Amman. Apparently, it's mating season again. I've heard a little bit of cat fighting outside my windows here in Saudi Arabia, but one eye, my big male, the big dominant male, very cute in a way, but he's kind of missing in action today. He's been fighting for 2 days straight. He came back home yesterday, blood dripping from his under his ear and like on his forehead. So he must have gotten into some dandy of a fight somewhere. Nobody caught it. It was somewhere in the neighborhood somewhere. I live up on a hill in what's called Jabal. Jabal means mountain, Amman, so an Amman mountain. And it's a slight hill that rises up above, I don't know the name of that place. What is the name of that area down there? Mahajarin. But it rises up. It's across from what they call Jabal Akhtar or the Green Mountain. And so we're up on a hill, and so basically there is no flat area except for where the street is. Everything else is hills, either up or down. So he likes to go down the hill a lot. And where he goes, really, we don't know because it's it's a hill, and there's lots of houses built on this hill going all the way down. And a lot of it is like apartment complexes, multiple unit dwellings type of thing. And so where he goes, we don't know, but he left 2 days ago and came back literally I heard it was just his blood dripping down his right ear and blood on his forehead, but he seemed okay. He slept for the night. And then I saw him this morning, and he was just screaming all night, the girls told me, just screaming up a storm. Basically, let me out type of thing. And in the pictures this morning, so cute. He's standing at the door, staring at the door, and I can hear him now because I know how he screams. And I can sure he's screaming at everybody, like, open the door, open the door. So then I saw just a series of pictures where the door was first standing in front of the door, then the door opened, then him walking down the stairs to the street level. It's not much, maybe a flight of 10, 12 stairs on a gradual incline, not a steep, steep incline, but a moderate incline, I guess you could say, down to the street. And then the next picture I saw was him walking down the hill along a pathway that runs next to my house. And I was like, okay. And as of like 5 o'clock tonight, he was still missing in action. Nobody knows where he was up to that time. I haven't checked since then. So we're just going to have to deal now for the next 3 to 4 weeks now of just lots of fights and missing cats while we hope he's okay, while he's out doing whatever business he's got to take care of. But it's a crazy time when the cats go crazy around Amon, because you hear it all. You don't see a whole lot, but you sure do hear the cats as they fight up a storm all around the neighborhood. And I'm kind of glad I'm not there, because I hate when my guy, big guy, goes out, because I know what he's doing. He's going to go fight. He's basically going to go get into a big, big song and dance with a couple males, and he's going to go find some females and fight his way in, I guess it is. And then after he's tired, he makes his way home, sleeps for about 8 to 15 to 22 hours, and then he goes out and he does it all over again. And that seems to be the life of a cat. Just eat and sleep and get fat until it comes mating time. And then off you go to fight and just mess around with the girl cats, I guess. So that's where it looks like it's that time of season again, because it's a little bit busy here, and it's certainly been busy in Amman. So that again is the ITEL Cat Report. Again, it's proudly sponsored by North Kakalaki Trading Post. Good services and solutions for all things great and small. Again, it's inconveniently located at the corner of Walk and Don't Walk, and by Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club, a radio show hosted by Blackbird Nine, aka Frederick C. Blackburn. Again, you can hear Blackbird Nine's Breakfast Club every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. Again, that's every Wednesday evening from 8 to 10 p.m. on Spreaker. And for more information, visit Blackbird9TradingPosts.org. Again, Blackbird9TradingPosts.org. You know what's interesting about Blackbird 9, I never knew this, and I'm actually kind of impressed, is Blackbird 9, BB9 as we call him in the chat room, he's actually got a Facebook study group. You know, Blackbird, Frederick and I go back to the esoteric days, dealing with the esoterics of language, the esoterics of symbolism and how to decipher symbolism, how symbolism might be injected into media, into stories, into advertising, etc. And I'll give you like one quick example just to show you, you know, like the logo for Volvo. If you look at the logo for Volvo, especially the traditional one, the logo is like a circle with the arrow coming out. Well, that's Mars. And of course, if you take the word Volvo backwards, it says of love. See, V-O-L-V-O. So go read it backwards, of love. And of course, so of love would be like the goddess of love, which would be Venus. And then the logo itself, the circle with the arrow coming out, is Mars. So the Volvo is essentially a symbol that says Venus and Mars, you know, the male and the female, the one and the zero. And so if you never saw that, well, you know, you can see that stuff all over the place. But that's some of the issues that they deal with over at Blackbird Nine's Trading Post. And he kind of weaves that into a nice show every week. And so afterwards, he has a study group. And I didn't know that. I found out about it when one of my shows got posted in the study group. I actually didn't know about that. So you can check out Blackbird 9 Trading Post, his study group. I don't have the information. I guess I should kind of post it on the website just so people have it. That might be a pretty smart thing to do. All right, everybody. It is time for the special segment we have here, and that is called the Oy Vey moment. And let me see if I can get everything queued up just right. I'm a little bit slow here, but we're going to be on time.
Oy Vey. Oy Gewalt. It's like another shower.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey.
Oy Vey, everybody.
Hollywood is run by Jews. It's owned by Jews. Very goddamn angry at some of the Jews.
I thrive on boy and tears.
Oy vey!
Oy vey, everybody!
The Oy Vey Moment is proudly sponsored by Andrew Carrington Hitchcock, author of The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored. The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored features a rapturous 144,000 words that is replete with additional articles never before seen in print. And after having its distribution banned by Amazon and Lulu, The Synagogue of Satan, Updated, Expanded, and Uncensored is now available from Barnes Review at barnesreview.org. Order your copy today, won't you? Of course, don't forget to listen to Andy's The Andrew Carrington Hitchcock Show, which streams every Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock a.m. to 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern on Eurofolk Radio at eurofolkradio.com. To listen, simply visit eurofolkradio.com during showtime and click on the Listen Live Now link, or visit andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com for Andy's free show archives, which comprises one of the most extensive guest lists in the alternative media.
All right, welcome back. Again, this week's Oy Vey moment is coming to us from Germany. That's right, Germany. And this is coming out of, again, Israel. Israel is a great place to pick up Oy Vey stuff because everything about Israel is Oy Vey. And the story is coming out of Berlin, and it's from, it looks like Jewish Times or Jerusalem Times. It doesn't say. I don't know what the JTA is. I should look that up. And they're saying that anti-Semitism among Muslim refugees is rampant and requires urgent attention, according to a new study. And I'm, the very first thought about that is like, dudes, look, you Jews are bringing these migrants in. You Jews are funding it. You Jews are organizing it. You Jews are creating the political cover to make it impossible to stop it. And now you Jews want to tell us that it's rampant anti-Semitism there? I have word for you people in the Jewish community. A lot of these people that you are allowing into the doors, they're anti-German too. Now, I didn't hear the Jewish people talk about how these people are anti-German. I didn't hear how the Jewish people are talking about how they're anti-even Western. There's no interest in integrating. There's no interest in assimilating. None of that is going on. Do the Jewish people really get the fact that people are starting to wake up to their scams? Folks, it's a scam. I don't know. Last week we covered the idea of in Sweden, there was a firebombing of a synagogue, and all these Jews are hiding like in the basement. You guys let them in, you idiots. So the American Jewish Committee, that is what it's called, the American Jewish Committee, Institute for German Jewish Relations in Berlin. They put out a finding that says that refugees from quote-unquote persecuted minorities, whatever that means, are more likely to take a stand against anti-Semitism and for Israel. Well, okay, if that's the case, we need to target those areas so that they stay focused on being anti-Israel, anti-Jewish. That is the point. Jews, by and large, when you look at the political landscape, it's, if you aren't awake yet, well, we're going to keep hammering it And you can just tune out of the radio because a lot of people are waking up regardless whether you like it or not. Look, it's an existential battle between essentially Jewish people and the West. They don't like you. They hate you. Why? Because in their mythological world, the Holocaust really happened. And in order to prevent it again, they got to get rid of all of you so that they can then rule over the earth. That's their whole idea. That's the whole idea about moving, quite frankly, the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, because now, the U.S. has declared it's really the capital. And these loons will go off into a whole bunch of eschatological nonsense to now justify moving the goalposts to continue to build their third temple. But this report, it was titled Attitudes of Refugees from Syria and Iraq Towards Integration, Identity, Jews, and the Shoah. Well, everything. See why you got to start focusing on the Holocaust. Folks, their entire worldview centers around this central theme. If you don't shatter this mythology, it will be used as a hammer to shatter you and your cultural cohesion within your own nations. Now, it only interviewed 68 refugees, so they could have been targeted refugees. We know how Jews like to lie and to spread disinformation, but we'll take them at face value here. They talked about how thousands of protesters burned homemade Israeli flags and crowded city subway stations chanting anti-Israel and anti-American slogans on their way to rallies. The number of refugees among the demonstrators was unknown. Now, at the same time, in a show of solidarity with Jewish communities in Germany, local imams joined with Christian and Jewish leaders, these are all paid off people probably, in public celebrations of Hanukkah. Now, that included the candle lighting of the Hanukkah at the Brandenburg Gate. Nonetheless, according to all of this, when political challenges multiply, this goes the report, anti-Semitism often increases, a situation that must not be tolerated. Well, look, what are the Jewish people telling us here? What they're really saying is you cannot protest us. You must accept our cultural domination of your societies. Yet, when we look all around our societies, we see that it is in what? Decay, moral decay, economic decay, financial decay. Everything about what is this Jewish creation upon planet Earth has always been about destroying the cohesion of societies within which these people live. That's why there's always been this give and go, take, give and take, purge, let them back in, purge them again. Because there just is no way to reconcile the two political systems. Jewish political ideology is all about what's good for Jews, where the West, we accept what's good for all of us benefits us all, and a rising tide raises all ships. But that's not part of the Jewish mantra here. They don't believe in this. The one thing that struck me about this report was that it said something to the effect that refugees from persecuted minorities tend to, many Muslims, this is the point, many Muslims come with conspiracy theories about Jews and Israel controlling the world. Well, I have a note for you for the Times of Israel. When I see the U.S. Congress and its military power spread out over the world, and I see the U.S. dollar controlled essentially by Jewish federal bankers, and I see a Congress that votes always, always unanimously for every single effort that promotes Jewish interests, those aren't conspiracies, folks. Those are observable facts. When I see that Jewish people brag about controlling the media of the United States, that's not a conspiracy, that's a fact. That is a fact. When I see so much Jewish collusion into controlling U.S. political dynamics, that isn't a conspiracy, that is a fact. We have so many facts now that show the enormous problem that Jewish society is creating for much of the West. Mind you, it is so bad that Schneider, who is a leading political figure of a major political party in Germany, he openly states that Germany only exists to serve Jews and the Jewish and the state of Israel. Now, if you have a Jewish guy lording over the Germans, saying that Germany exists only to serve Jews and Jewish interests and the state of Israel, this isn't a conspiracy. This is an observable fact. See, the Jewish people want to keep selling this idea as it's a conspiracy, a conspiracy, a conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. This is open-ended, targeted warfare by a political ideology. You can call it Zionism. I don't care. You can call it Talmudism. I don't care. You can call it Judaism. I don't care. They're all the same to me. And you can try to argue that they're different. But when push comes to shove, there really isn't a whole lot of difference here. So the idea that there's anti-Semitism rampant again among Muslim refugees, and that's all that the Jewish people want to focus on, when they don't even care about the rapes, the crimes, the massive amounts of actually criminal activity that is spread when you allow, and it's the Jewish, essentially Jewish organizations that are pushing and allowing this to happen, it becomes exceedingly noxious and disgusting to watch a Jewish group try to paint this as it's only in the eyes of what's good for Jews. Wake up to what is happening out there. This is not a joke anymore. It is about an existential battle between the West and Judaism itself. And the way you can observe that is, of course, every year with the lighting of the Hanukkah or the menorah. That's not a holiday, folks. That's not the Jewish Christmas. That's all about cultural destruction of the West. You can't even put your own, you know, a lot of you listen to me, I know, because of Eurofolk Radio and elsewhere. Look, you guys classify yourselves as Christians, but you can't even protect your own territory. You can't even put a cross up on a public square, yet they're going to put up the Brandon, or they're going to put up a menorah right in front of the White House. You can't even put your crosses or nativity scenes in any type of public space, but I'll be darned, they're going to put up a menorah in the same city council halls. Folks, it's a war against your culture, your religion. I'm not even Christian, folks. I am a friend of the West. I am a product of the West. I am a product of higher level esoteric teachings of the West that helped make the West great. Christianity plays and has played, whether a lot of people say, no, it hasn't. No, it has played a very key role in the development of the West. It is infused with our philosophy equally. We're not enemies to you. And certainly we don't appreciate if you called us enemies. But folks, wake up. Our enemy isn't all this Muslim stuff coming everywhere. Because that can be dealt with very easily through what? Rounding everybody up and deporting them. Easy enough to spot. Easy enough to take care of. That's what they do everywhere, folks. This is normal. Hello? It's normal. It is normal to deport people who don't belong within a certain area. This is the fact. Inside Guy Live, prime time. Back more right after this. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch Inside the Eye Live, prime time. That's right. Inside the Eye Live, prime time. Today's date again is June. Not June. It's December. I'm out of it, man. December 14th, 2017. For those of you listening in the archives. So, anyways, good. You know, shoot, man, December 14, we got Christmas away now, 14, 11 days away. We're within the 12 days of Christmas, and that's kind of, I guess, kind of cool. I mean, we're almost done with a year, man. I can't believe it, actually. We're literally almost done with 2017, if you can believe it. I mean, I can't. The year, you know, it seemed like it drug on a little bit this year, but in retrospect, it flew by. You know, we had a great spring last year. Then we went to Jordan. We had a great summer, nice long vacation. And then once I got back, the time has kind of flown by. And I'll tell you, it's been really quite interesting, to say the least. Let's see. Let me try to see what's going on here. I'm trying to get maybe somebody on the line, but I got so many windows open. Let's see if I can get somebody on the line here for you. Try to bring on Blackbird 9, Frederick. Okay, he's going to try to get on here. We're going to try to bring on Blackbird 9. He's, again, a former Freemason, and, of course, I've studied the Freemasonic stuff quite a lot. I'd like to bring him on to talk a little bit about Hanukkah, to get his understanding from the Freemasonic world and his research within Freemasonry. And I'll tell you, it's pretty common to mine. We actually disagree on a lot of stuff, believe it or not. I have a more positive attitude about things than he does, but that's okay. He lived it. I got to take what he says into some consideration, even though the information preserved within Freemasonry was clearly quite impressive, which I think he actually would agree with me on. So we'll try to get Blackbird 9 here from Blackbird 9 Trading Posts on Blackbird 9 Trading Posts. .org back here as soon as he runs to the house. It's been snowing up in North Kakalaki, so he's standing by. Okay, let me see if I can add Blackbird to the group here. And let's hope it goes through. I hope it looks like it went through. Hey, Frederick, are you live here on Inside the LA Primetime? Hello. I see you're kind of here. Are you there? Are you there? I don't see that he can hear me. Maybe he's not set up yet to actually take the call. Frederick C. Blackburn, are you live? It shows the call connected. Okay, I don't see that. Don't see that he can connect. So let me just disconnect here. He didn't answer, it says here, but we're going to try to bring him on. And let me remove him from the contacts here, from this group. I'd like to get him on. He's got a lot of great information, quite frankly. So let me try again. And let's see if he's able to take the call. You know, I'd like to... I see it's still perhaps not connected. See if he's writing to me now, folks. Just be patient just a little bit. You hear me, but I don't hear you at all. So, yeah, go ahead and talk again. I put a different microphone on. I cannot hear you at all, Frederick. So that's not a great thing. If you can hear me, you might as well just listen to it live over the microwave, or not the microwave, the airwaves here. So not sure why I can't hear you. Can you hear me? You say you can hear me. Okay, looks like he disappeared. Let me try to add it to the group again. You know, we wish this thing would get solved. You know, we'd like to just keep our shows rolling along. We've got actually a big long list of guests we can bring to you, but I don't want to trouble them, obviously, because I always have technical issues. Otherwise, we would be bringing you a lot more guests here and a different flavor to the show for sure. Okay, he's not able to connect. Why don't you, Frederick, try to call me. If you can hear me, try to call me. Because I can't add you. Maybe if you call me, you can try to get online that way. So again, I'm going to just send him a message, and I'm sorry about all this, guys. I'm just going to type here, try to call me, guy. Try to call me. And let's see if he can then be added. Let's see if he can call in from his side and get added. It says we have a Skype mismatch. Okay. Nope, we will not be able to take it. We will not be able to add it. So what I could try to do is one more way, guys. We're going to try to add him to the conversation one more way. It says there's a Skype mismatch. Skype has become really such a the engineers at Skype have destroyed their product. No, I can't. I cannot take the call, Blackbird. It doesn't work. Yeah, it doesn't work. I cannot take his call. So we're going to just have to move along here. I'm going to try to add him one more time. Add people to this call. Blackbird 9, add to this call. And let's see if that will connect us one more time. Very frustrating, guys. Skype used to be such a great product. It was very flawless. The people knew what they were doing. And ever since they've decided to play with their codecs, they have really destroyed their product. I don't even use it that much anymore. I've actually started to use other products. And we're looking to migrate from this studio also to get off of this product. So you have to be patient with us because it's just not connecting. You know, we're talking about, you know, really, you know, we're starting Hanukkah. And Hanukkah, if you're not familiar, you take Hanukkah all the way back to the temple, the sacking of the temple in 70 AD, something like that. Then you get the Arch of Titus in Rome, which commemorated that event. And then after the State of Israel was formulated in 1948, what Jews did is they walked through the Arch of Titus backwards as a symbol of reversing the fate of when they had their self evicted. Yeah, I can't take the... Okay, everybody, I'm back. I didn't realize we were having dead air. I was on a pretty good rant there, and I was just kind of talking to myself, apparently. Again, not sure why. We should be in a break right now, 3:32 in the morning here. We should be on a break. But apparently we're getting dead air. Not sure what happened there, but I am back live, I assume. I don't hear the background, and just can't tell. I'm just kind of curious if they fixed this thing. Maybe that's why we went silent. They tried to fix everything. We're going to try to bring on Blackbird 9 now and see if this thing will work again. And Blackbird, let me see if I can get you on the air. We're going to try to bring Blackbird back on here and see if the thing works. And maybe not, but we're going to try. That's for sure. Maybe somebody went in there and fixed things. Frederick, are you live? No, I didn't see where he's live there. I'll tell you, live radio is kind of a challenge sometimes. Okay, no answer there. So, okay. Yeah, I see that. Okay, I saw that. So, let's see here. I'll tell you what, we're just trying to get people to join us here, and I don't know the phone number, so I can't add it, and he's gone now. So, I got so many contacts, guys. I got to create a whole new contact list just for the radio show, just to separate everybody out from business to non-business. All right, everybody. We want to talk a little bit more about, again, you know, Jewish control. And they say, well, it doesn't exist. Well, a lot of you people out there probably have seen the way in which Jews have targeted people they call Nazis. This guy was a Nazi. This guy was a Nazi. And, of course, a lot of them are old people. Some of them aren't even having anything to do with anything. And, of course, what Jews want to do is they want to keep their Holocaust narrative alive. So the way they keep their Holocaust narrative alive is they create conditions upon which they can take people to court, get them convicted in the courts, and they say they hold up the court reading. They say, see, this is proof that it really happened. Never mind that the courts were kangaroo courts. Never, you know, none of this stuff matters to the Jewish people. All they have is, see, it's written in the law, therefore it's true. And, you know, we go back some time ago, I think like 2014, in January, inside of the United States, they rushed a bill that said that Nazi war criminals would be barred from collecting Social Security benefits. And the U.S. Senate passed the No Social Security for Nazis Act with no amendments on a unanimous vote. Can you imagine a unanimous vote, the U.S. Senate? It went to the House. The House passed a companion bill, 420-0. 420-0. Well, guys, whose interest is that? Some poor guy happened to work inside of a German camp somewhere, and all of a sudden he's being branded a quote-unquote a Nazi. He's contributed to the United States for 30, 40, 50 years, more than Jews contribute. And now the Jews are so disgustingly vindictive. And this is disgusting of these people, that they will ban this guy from even collecting the Social Security that he paid in. Well, I have something for you Jews that think this way. How about you give him all the money he paid, though? Because that was his money. And since you took it from him, or these people, why don't you give all the money they paid back at least? Give it all back in one lump sum. All of it. But no, you want to protect your Federal Reserve because you're just a bunch of cowardly, literally, these are cowards, folks. And the idea here is that it is a demographic war. Jews wage it two fronts. They want to deny economic ability for you to raise your family and bring yourself up or destroy your household in the end. But at the same time, they want to flood you with migrants, and then they want to complain about anti-Semitism, and then they want you to protect them when they don't care what happens to you and your family. The double standards here is beyond nauseatingly sick. And for one, I as an American am fed up with it, and I'm speaking about it. And this type of mentality needs to be taken to the ballot box. We see time and time again now elections held in the United States, and out of nowhere, Jewish people get into power. Now, mind you, I don't trust the American political system anymore. I know it's rigged. It's rigged big time. I don't know if you saw there was the vote just recently in Alabama with Michael Moore and Doug Jones. They've got pictures now of all these buses coming in. It's like, where'd the buses come from? Who did they belong to, and who are they busing in? You've got videos coming out of people bragging about how they were brought in to change the election and to help vote, help get the vote, and help actually did vote, they said. Where are these people coming from, and why are they being brought in to a foreign territory? See the dirty games that are being played here? That's the dirty part of democracy. And I've held this up very clear. If you have voter fraud, this is sedition, nothing less. A democracy like the United States, which has all the technology in the world, all the talent and capability in the world, if our people conducting these elections are found to even have a hint of utilizing criminal means to influence that election, this tells us that they are engaging in sedition. It's no different, everybody, than grabbing a bunch of guns and going into the courthouses and going into the city halls and taking over the government by arms. But instead of taking it over by arms, you are using surreptitious, treasonous means to take over governments. I don't care if it's at the city level. I don't care the county, state, or national level. If you are involved, and if any American or otherwise is involved in utilizing surreptitious means, criminal means, to take over an election, or to illegally or otherwise engage in activity that seeks to influence the election beyond your personal abilities, and as that means using super PACs, etc., to influence elections, we should view these as forms of sedition, treason, especially at the national level, especially for a congressional seat, especially for a Senate seat, because these are the federal, these are the national candidates. Anytime I hear of voter fraud, the entire chain should be dealt with as traitors, literal traitors conducting a coup d'etat against the nation and people of the United States. This should be no negotiation. If you're engaged in voter fraud and we find you sedition, a traitor, and dealt with accordingly, and I don't care in this case is summarily shot, quite frankly, because you are engaging in sedition, you are engaging in treason, and you are essentially staging a soft coup d'etat against the people of the United States. Now, I'm not a violent person, but when you are going to engage in activity that seeks to, again, create a coup d'etat condition against the American people, this is no different than an armed insurrection against the nation. Now, if the nation became so corrupt, well, this founding father said an armed insurrection would not be such a bad thing. Now, a lot of us don't believe anybody wins that way. But if you make it such that you can't win any other way, then what are you asking the people to do? When you set it up so that the courts can't question you, when you imprison people for quote-unquote hate crimes or anti-Semitism for simply voicing their political beliefs, you're creating conditions upon which the people have no recourse through the rhetorical channels. Rhetorical, of course, means the democratic system. Then you create the conditions on the ground that really do create for armed insurrections all around the world. Now, I've heard the United States supports armed insurrections. They certainly did in Libya. They certainly did in Syria. In fact, the United States they don't seem to bother with armed insurrections. They seem to think it's okay. This is the policy that's been set. These are the precedents that have been set. The main issue this week, quite honestly, is that menorah. And you may think it's a minor issue, but it's really not. That menorah is symbolizing the gradual spreading of a very dark, sinister world upon the earth. And as it spreads from city to city to city, it, for each one of those lights that is lit, it says tens of thousands of other lights will be extinguished. Be very careful with how religious symbolism is really working out there. It's very sinister. You know, President Trump, he was sitting there inside of the White House, and he's celebrating Hanukkah as if somehow this is an honorable thing to do. It's not. In no way could this be seen as an honorable thing. People inside the White House, you had people like Pence, Vice President Pence, Secretary of the Treasury, Steve Mnuchin, and then you got Holocaust survivors. See, it's an all-Jewish thing, folks. It has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with the American people, has nothing to do with the interests of the United States of America, and has everything to do with a very simple phrase that comes from the Jewish community, is it good for Jews? And yeah, having your president in charge of the government and filling the White House with nothing but Jews for a Jewish interest is good for Jews. No way around it. Obviously, it's good for Jews. Trump struggled, of course, with some of the names there, but that's okay. Palestinians, they, of course, are laying claim to Jerusalem. They want the eastern part of the city as a capital for their future state. But the Palestinians never figured it out, quite frankly. They keep talking about a political state, a state, a state. There is no state. There is no viable option for a state inside of Palestine unless we, the United States, cuts all ties with Israel. We force Israel back to their 1967 borders. No questions asked. If we're going to allow this to happen, you give 1967 borders, and because of 9/11, we imposed upon the Jewish state a right of return of all Palestinian refugees. We do not accept the terrorism of Israel to create and carve out its own state. See, when President Trump spoke about how we cannot solve the problems of the day by following in the same paths that we've been following for decades, Well, you know what, Trump? We agree with you. Giving Israel Jerusalem is just following the same broken path that serves and gets us nowhere. We must really start to put pressure on all links to Israel, especially in the security world. What haven't we learned since 9/11? Every single security choke point on 9/11 were controlled by Jews. Okay, if there's such geniuses in the security world and you're going to buy into, quite frankly, the 9/11 story, how are you going to justify giving Jews any contracts when they are such complete, utter, absolute failures at what they have been tasked to do? Complete failures. This idea that Jews are so great and genius, folks, they're not. Take away their ability to spy on the American people, and they will instantly tune into something that just is nothing. Start taking out their psionym bases out there, and they will turn into nothing. It's not like we don't know what's going on, folks. We as the West, Jews have been kicked out 359 times already. Their war on Sweden is absolutely mind-boggling sadistic. Their war on the Germans, quite frankly, and the French, it's unbelievable. And also on us Americans also, because we're the great cash cow. Take away, you know what, you're spending $10 million a day, folks. $10 million a day on every man, woman, actually I know of some every man, woman, and child, but seems like it. I'm not sure what the number is. Is it 10 million a day or 10 million per capita? It feels like per capita. I don't think it's quite per capita. But yeah, $10 million a day, everybody. Literally, $10 million a day is being spent on Israel. And it's actually more than that. I know that. Yet, what do you have for Christmas? Is $10 million a day good for you? Now you see the power. You got to take away the ballot box. The idea that you're going to go wage war against this type of stuff is insane. You must get motivated, educated, and take over the ballot box. You must support enemies of Jews. Remember, the Jewish people, the Jewish state, by and large, are enemies of the United States. You don't believe me? Guys, Twitter's out there. Twitter is great because it shows you clearly that there is a Jewish war against the West. If you're not on Twitter, get an account. You don't have to believe me, folks. I sometimes feel like I'm just talking and saying the same thing. Nobody wants to listen. And that's okay, because I know lots of people still listen. But to those of you who are sitting on the fence, turn off your TV, sign up for a Twitter account, go find a pro-Israel site, and say we need to stop support for Israel and make sure that we keep our money here inside of America or inside of the UK or inside of Germany, wherever you are at, and watch how these people treat you. Let them wake you up. But you can't let them wake you up unless you get involved in the process. Getting involved in the process isn't about watching the news on TV. Getting involved in the process is studying, getting out there, looking at who's bussing who around on election day, getting involved, taking pictures, doing what you can. See, if you don't take a stand on who rules over you or rules with you, I guarantee you're going to be ruled by people that are even worse than you're going to get. You guys got to focus. People out there, focus, focus, focus. It's so important today, especially now. You got the holiday season coming up. You're going to have every day a ritual of a menorah light being lit. Every single light reminds Jews of their victory over their enemies. And if that is the case, why do they need to light it in your town? Unless they're telling you something, they're telling you that they are creating a victory over you. And again, you don't even have to believe me. But do your research before you just tune me out of hand. Get to know their ideology, folks. Get to know how they think. Get to know how they are motivated by the past. Get to understand how vindictive they really are. When you're talking about setting up like 3 years ago, the no social security for Nazis. Well, okay, just get, they won't even give their money back. They're such vindictive scum. This is scum. This is below human. This is subhuman type of level of actions here. What, somebody pays you all this money? You made all that interest? You don't want to pay the man back? Because you say he's a Nazi? Really? Is that right? Well, how about we create the No Social Security for Jews Act? Wouldn't that be great? Because that's kind of like just the inverse of what they're saying. How about this? No Social Security for Jews Act. You think you can get that passed unanimously? 420-0 in the House of Representatives? Now you see about the control. If you can't get a 420-0 against the No Social Security for Jews or Bolsheviks, you could change it. No Social Security for Bolsheviks. But you get to decide what the word Bolshevik is. You think you can get one vote? No Social Security for Jewish communists. You think you're going to get one vote in the? You think you're going to get one vote? See, change it. I don't care how you do it, folks. Be creative. Change it to name it something that's not a direct hit on your Jewish people, but make sure that everybody knows who it's targeting, and then watch how they come out. You think you're going to get one vote? That's what we mean by political power. We don't have it. Let's be honest. None of us have power. We have very little political power. We brought 65 million people out to vote for Donald Trump. And the first thing he wants to do is something stupid and make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. That's what our 65 million votes got us, is some idiot. Oh, yeah, we need to now celebrate Hanukkah in the White House because it's very special this year, because on the eve of Chabad's founding, I did a stupid thing and I created a new thing that says Jerusalem's the capital of all of Israel. Because Jews are going to do what? They're going to move the goalposts. If you want peace now, you're going to have to admit that this. If you don't admit that the capital belongs to Israel, then there's no peace. Because Netanyahu's already said that. Literally, he's on record as saying that. Okay, fine, Netanyahu says that. Now what? If you recognize that Israel and Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, now what do you got to do? You're going to have to recognize that Al-Quds is not really that holy, and you got to allow us to build our temple there because this is our capital. See, they'll just keep moving the goalposts, folks. Don't buy into their whiny loser BS. Take a stand. Say no, no, no. End support for Israel. Don't support Israel in any way or fashion. And that's the one thing that they're deathly afraid of. And how do you know that? Because they create laws that don't let you do it. Why are they creating laws that says you can't exercise your own moral mindset or your own moral decisions about a foreign power? Yet it's just a conspiracy, right? That Jews have power, right? It's just a conspiracy. So how did the laws come into being if there's no conspiracy? What, they just magically showed up there? How are thousands and thousands of people in prison because of quote-unquote hate speech that Jews created if Jews don't have power? Did we ever start imprisoning Jews for speech that we didn't like? Did we ever do that? I don't think so. I don't recall doing that, but I see it all the time in the Jewish community. So how is this beneficial, folks? Literally. Again, if it's good for Jews, it's bad for everybody else. Support candidates that can help support some of your larger goals. Try to move the ball forward. Try to move the flags forward. If somebody can help you stop immigration, trust me, it's a demographic game right now. It's always been a demographic game. It's always been about who can have the most votes to put people into power. That's demographics, folks. And if they want to flood your neighborhood with a lot of quote-unquote aliens or migrants, guess what they're doing? They're destroying the demographic makeup of your town, your city, your county. For what? To take over your county through the ballot box. Get how it works. It is a form of warfare. Understand it is warfare through very subtle, quiet means. But still, that is what is at stake here. You're going to see a lot more cases in the months ahead where Jews are going to be complaining to you about such and such a migrant is oh so bad and targeting us poor Jews. Yet you're going to have case and story and story and story about how the same migrants have been attacking non-Jewish people, and Jews are silent because they don't care about Jews. That's the story of the North. It's Inside the Ally Primetime. See you all Saturday.